Welcome back to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez. My guest today is attorney Joaco Monserrate Matienzo. He's kind of passionate about this topic of the criminal law, and I, you know, I imagine with all the experience and all the people that he's helped and represented, and it can become rather frustrating that the system is so locked into specific sentences. And you know, we've been talking, there was an article by the judge for the Mayra Nevarez case and retiring, and she was just saying how difficult it is to see someone who clearly made a mistake, who had too much to drink, and ended up killing someone. And but it was, you know, a one moment, one day, a person who has a family and is a mother, and you know, to put her to in jail doesn't achieve anything. Then you have all these other people that just didn't stand a chance in the world. They born to a mother who was a prostitute and an addict and smoker and malnutrition and everything you could think of. And the person is born with mental, physical issues that, and then the rest of their life, or you know, until they finally something cracks, is a disaster from foster home to foster home, and all. So it's a difficult world, and it gets pretty depressing. And then you don't have really, the goal is to treat people humanely as possible, and to rehabilitate them, and we don't have the resources, the social services, and the resources.
Drugs, and drug addiction, addicts. You know, they have no chance. They rehabilitation, well, Casa Crea and other things, but many of these people who commit crimes, petty crimes and serious crimes, are addicts, and. How are you going to do with them? You put them in jail, 10 years. They go out, the first day they come out, they go and look for a syringe because they have not been cured. They're still sick people. Mm-hmm. And we have to deal with that in a scientific way. It's not punishment. It's scientific way, of course. Sometimes they do things that are unforgettable and you cannot pardon them. But those are the cases for the law is there, it's strong, and it can be severely punished. But not all, you know, not all. And then when you don't have space as a judge to see white from black, or a solution to a problem like the case of that judge, well, she has to retire.
Yeah, yeah.
She cannot handle that.
Now, you... talking to a criminal lawyer once, he said, you represent a person guilty, and you use and have to utilize all the tools that are available in the legal profession, and all. But he was saying that the most difficult cases are where the person is innocent. You are completely sure that the person's innocent. And to represent that person is a very, very
difficult. It's a burden. It's a burden. It's a tremendous burden. Remember, Jorge, a defense lawyer duty is to represent a person, represent the rights that the Constitution or the law gives the person. You're going to be tried fully under the law. If you do that, you comply with that, you are doing your duty, and at the same time, represent them faithfully, the defendant. The defense attorney is not clairvoyant, he's not a priest, he's not going to say, you did this or that. You have to have the facts. An important thing, and a defendant who does not tell the truth to the defense lawyer is going to be found guilty for sure, because the lawyer is going to fall into traps. The lawyer is going to expose theories which will not apply, and the prosecutor will have evidence to contradict that. So better thing is tell the truth and then let the law defend you, the constitutional law. We have a wonderful constitution. We have a wonderful constitution. And by the way, in the United States, they have the same wonderful constitution. But nowadays, with the judges that have been assigned to the Supreme Court, I wonder how things are going now in the United States. But it's very, very, very frustrating to see how things are. When the person
tells you right up front, says, "I did it. I'm guilty.
I did it. I was."
Well, you know. But the person says, "I was innocent," and you study and you think and you and blah blah, and you really are completely convinced that that puts a lot of burden on you.
I have been an attorney for 60 years. I have not done a contract. I have not an affidavit. I have been trying cases in court. Now let me tell you, if a person comes to me and he makes a story of how the facts are, I don't take them because they, no. I investigate, I cross-examine him. I look here and there and there until I find the probable truth. So it's not a good deal for the client to try to fool the lawyer, and it happens. And many times they start with a story and they end with another story after you are being very, very conscious, cross-examining, questioning, especially when you go to the first hearing, then you start to hear from the other side the story. But sometimes the it's not in the white nor black, it's in the gray zone, and that you can deal with that. You can deal with that. Yeah. But
you wanted to make some comments on the on what's been happening, you know, with Wanda Vazquez.
Oh, Wanda.
And tell us what you.
Because Wanda Vazquez is a very, very, very sad case. It's this lady. She was doing, you know, she was a prosecutor. I remember her as a prosecutor, a fair-minded prosecutor, and then. By things of the world, she has some political backing. She ended up being appointed Attorney General of Puerto Rico. I don't think that she had the qualities for Attorney General, because I am very strict in the qualities that an Attorney General needs. For the great Attorney Generals of Puerto Rico, you're talking about people like we mentioned, Irán Cancio, Chago Soler Favale, Don Pepe Aponte, Rafael Hernández Colón, and then you have Victor Gutierrez Franchi. Those are giants, you know, of the profession. Vicente Heger Polanco, named by Muñoz Marín in the 40s. Those people were giants. But then let's go back to Wanda. Wanda was appointed. She got backing from some politicians. She ended up being Attorney General of Puerto Rico, or Secretary of Justice, as they call it here. She never thought that she was going to be governor. But then the things happens with Ricky Rosselló Jr., you know, and the fellow is leaves the Fortaleza, and then the post belonged to the Secretary of State, which he saw what was coming on, and he ran away. He was not going to take that job. And then it ended up on Wanda Vazquez's desk. So she becomes governor of Puerto Rico with no idea nor desire to continue in that position, as she said. No, this is just for the time that
6-9 months, whatever it was.
But then it happens. The things that weaknesses and frailties and they start to take the advantages of such a position. She starts to like the job. They gave orange juice to the in the bed every morning. They have what menu do you want for breakfast? What menu do you want for lunch? And they come with all those goodies, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you go out and have 5 cars in front, 3 cars in back, and you go out and they receive you like they start pumping her ideas about how good things are and how you were saying. And people are looking at those people in political positions, the ones who really are the mean people, because they want to take advantage of people in good positions, in high positions. And if you're weak, they're going to get to you. And that happened with the woman. She's invited to a wedding. She didn't know who were marrying. They sent her to the most important table. They put these hawks next to her. These guys, Bellutini and the other, and another fellow, I forget his name. And they start to offer her things right away. Why don't you continue to as governor? You're doing a hell of a job, mm-hmm. you know? And probably she said, I don't have money. Don't worry about money. We'll mm-hmm. give you money mm-hmm. for the campaign. Mm-hmm. And then she fell into that trap. Mm-hmm. And then she fell in the worst possible way because the case had no defense. The case had no defense. The fellow who offered her the money was requiring a quid pro quo, which is the essence of any political case of corruption. You had to take joiner from the Department of Insurance, get him out, he's disturbing our services. He has a bank, the other fellow has a bank, and she goes and dismiss this fellow, and you know who he appointed? The one that the fellow who gave her the money suggested. Oh, yeah. That case has no defense. A jury would convict her in 5 minutes.
All right.
But then comes the horrible corruption, and then you get a lawyer for the co-defendants, a lawyer who is was a lawyer for Trump Group. And right there, you go to Trump, and you know how Trump is. Trump is money wise. And they put money in his vault, and he sells a pardon. He sells a pardon, and then this woman is, has no place in this island now. Wherever she goes, she's going to be, even if she's pardoned, she has no offense, but the world and the island especially is going to judge her. Yeah. I pity her.
When you get into these in these high positions, and I was just saying, you know, either these low positions as being just a host of a radio program, you have to be very realistic, you know, that you're not that great. And of course, you have to be very realistic to avoid any ethical, you know, issues that
you have to can be strict, easily. Very strict.
You know, so I think that's it's a lesson that we have to be humble. You know, we have to be super, super careful that my definition of well-being and personal happiness is living your personal values with a sense of self-satisfaction and peace, and within each one of us has to define what our personal values is. But once we have these personal values, we have to be
be strict. Yeah. In case of doubt, be strict.
What philosophically, you know, I started to wonder, you know that the Carmelite nun has imagined the personal values that she has compared to, let's say, as you mentioned, Donald Trump. You know, the person you couldn't. They're two really opposite. Different and I think thing. I think they're both happy and all. But they each have to go with their personal values and whatever those are, and some of them like Trump is more materialistic, and the other one's completely.
Buy everything. It's a question of buying. Mm-hmm. Money for him that's his god. That's his god.
Yeah.
That's been his god forever since he has been known publicly.
And he's going to die that way. It's not going to change.
Nobody's going to change that fellow.
No, it's going to change. So, you know, that's the part of the message always. And of course, we go with the different personal values. Some of them increase in priority and decrease as we go through life and all. So, but listen, you know, we're kind of running out of time. I don't know if, when last words of wisdom, we have about 15 seconds, but I think basically we covered what we wanted to cover. And I wanted the listeners to have your background as a criminal lawyer and then philosophizing over what that entails and how difficult that is, and then some of the things that you've done on the sideline with professional baseball and I think it's been very interesting and first and most of all at the end of this program I want to congratulate you for a great life in terms of what you've achieved and we wish you the best. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Look forward.
Very very honored to be in a program which has so much respect from the audience and I appreciate it and thank you.
Well, thank you, Waco, for joining me. So take care. Keep out of the criminal world. Don't have to call Waco. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM was proud to present Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, reflecting on events with our well-being in mind.